Welcome back to High Desert Bits, Central Oregon's theater podcast and calendar. I'm Anita Hoffman, and we're wrapping up our very first season with an interview with one of my first ever theater students. One of Bend's and Central Oregon's major draws is its proximity to nature and the outdoors. One theater company in Bend is putting those two together. Guerrilla Shakespeare is taking theater to the people at wineries and parks around the area. Its leader, Clinton Clark, was among the first graduates of Summit High School, and though he's now located in windy Chicago, Clinton's working summer vacation is putting on theater in the high desert, working to bring Shakespeare to life for a new generation.
I knew you back in the day when I taught at Summit, and you were a high school student.
Yep.
Working on this whole, maybe I'll try some drama thing. You got a chance to work with my very first guest, Pat Welch, who directed Taming of the Shrew.
That's right.
And you were Petruchio, right?
I was.
Yeah. We got to work together. You got a chance to work with Pat, which was great because we're all kind of linked together like roots, which is pretty marvelous. So tell me about... You were a Summit High School graduate, one of the first of the graduating class, right?
I was the first class to go there all 4 years. Now, there had been a couple other graduating classes before me, but they had come from the other schools.
Right.
And so, yeah, I was the first class to go all 4 years.
So give us a quick synopsis of what happened after that to where we're at now.
Well, sure. I feel like I should start in high school because that was kind of the seeds that planted what came later. And you have a lot to do with that. So I have you to thank while I have you here. You know, Summit, when we started, it was a really brand new school. It had just been built. So we were very lucky to have probably, you know, some of the nicest facilities, especially when it came to theater.
Yeah. Brand new lights
at our disposal. Lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the way that I got involved with you and with theater, now I had dabbled in it in middle school a little bit, but I was by no means a theater person until junior year. And the project was, and you had someone put out posters, would you ever want to direct your own play? And that really intrigued me. And so I got involved that way and got on directing a short. But it turns out we needed people for the other shorts, right? And so I ended up getting cast in Gavin Douglas's short, which was The Complete History of America Abridged. And really cool. I don't know if you followed up with Gavin at all, but he is now a professor at SOU.
No way.
Exactly. And that's where we both went to school. He actually showed up at SOU after me. He had taken a couple of years off after high school. And so I would have said it was probably my junior or senior year when he was finally coming in.
How cool.
And he's really expanded from there and gotten a lot of good work. And now, like I said, he's a professor at SOU. So he was directing The Complete History of America Abridged. And that even that production was abridged. And I remember sitting in, I believe it was probably like the second rehearsal for that. And you were around and you turned on the stage lights for us. And they hadn't been on for a while. And I'm sure you remember this. When you turn on stage lights after they haven't been on for a while, there's a little bit of dust that has fallen on the lenses, right? And so the stage lights are so hot that it burns off the dust, right? And it has a very distinct smell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a smell that, like, there is no other smell like that, other than stage lights burning dust off. And I remember smelling that for the very first time after you had turned that on, smelling that, looking around the theater, seeing the lights, looking down at my script, looking at my other actors and the director, and saying to myself, this is what I do. And it was from that moment on, I never changed my major. I always knew exactly what I wanted to do. I always knew that it was going to be hard. It was going to be difficult financially. It was going to be hard to collaborate with everybody. And that I wasn't making things easy on myself. I knew that from the start. But I knew from that moment, from that first time that I smelt that smell, that this is what I did. This is what I wanted to do. And every time I smell that smell again, because you smell it every time the stage lights are turned on after they've been off for a while, you get that same distinct smell of the dust burning. It's just a little reminder, like, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Some people love warm cookies. You love dust burning on a light.
Exactly. And I also love, like, when it's really beautiful outside sometimes, and I'm like, oh, I wish I was in a really dark theater. Just not enjoying this weather and just doing what
exactly.
I really should be doing.
If only I could be, I hear you. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So you went off to school after high school.
Yep. I went to SOU and I thought that I was this amazing actor, and I did not get into the acting program the first time I tried out. It's a very, very competitive program there. They only take, if it's still the way that it was when I went, they only took 20 people a year for the acting program. And I didn't make the cut the first year. I made it into acting one. Acting two is the big cut. That's where it's like, they call it your conservatory year. And if you don't make that, then you can't be an acting major. I didn't make it the first year. I had to go my sophomore year in college doing lights and getting the rest of kind of my prerequisites taken care of. When I auditioned in April for the second time, I had practiced. I had really worked on my monologue, and I got in. So that was great. But what it automatically did was kind of put me a year behind everyone that I started with, because the acting class that had come in with me as freshmen were already into it. So that means that I had to take my conservatory year in my junior year rather than in my sophomore year, which basically made me have to be a five-year graduate. So I knew that was going in, and I was okay with it. Worked really hard through SOU as much as I could. I got into some plays, a few, but I was more of a character actor rather than a lead, which I had always wanted to be. And then my senior year, I got into the Oregon Shakespeare Festival as an intern, and I did 2 years with them, which was really amazing. You get to work with some great talent. And the other thing that's a benefit when you're working with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival is kind of this continued education that they've got going on. And so, like, every Saturday morning they would have, a lecture with some great Shakespearean experts or actors. I had lectures from Scott Kaiser, who's huge in the Shakespeare game, from Tony Heald, who was in X-Men 3 and The Usual Suspects and a lot of films like that. And so I got to get some really amazing education from them as I worked as an understudy with them. And from there I moved back to Bend because it was the middle of the recession. I started working with Innovation Theater Works. And shortly thereafter that, I started producing.
So is that when Gorilla got its start?
Exactly. After my work with Innovation Theater Works, which was an amazing theater group, but only around for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I kind of realized that I had to start my own thing if I really wanted to continue doing certain plays. And for me at the time, it was especially Shakespeare, which I've always had, a place in my heart. a large place in my heart for. So in 2015, I started with the Scottish play with Mackers. And at that point, no one really in town knew who I was, or if they did know who I was, I hadn't proved myself yet. So I literally had 9 people at auditions.
I was,
Exactly.
You're going to die twice on stage.
Right. So I cast everyone, of course. and then I cast myself as the title character. And then I was also directing it as well. Of course, that play is cursed. We had our own troubles, but it ended up turning out all right. And I realized that I had something very special, that that if there was only one company in Central Oregon that was consistently doing Shakespeare, that they could actually perhaps grow. And so that was the whole plan. And so that was 10 years ago. This is our 8th play that we're coming up on now. We didn't operate during COVID, obviously.
Yeah.
It's never really been a whole lot, been very lucrative. And like I said, I've always been okay with that, because I feel like it's almost like the service that I feel like I need to do for Central Oregon Theater. And that's, you know, providing some sort of consistent Shakespeare, who is, you know, one of the bases for what we do and why we do it. That was always very important to me.
Yeah. Well, and you're right. There aren't many Shakespearean shows that go on here. I mean, the high schools will do, one or two shows in the course of, you know, a couple of seasons, but it's usually, you know, Romeo and Juliet or Midsummer or Comedy of Errors, or, you know, that, and I'm glad that you're doing the others, you know?
That's
the great part. So tell me about the model where you go from one place to another to perform.
Sure. I love that. And the whole idea is to kind of bring it closer to some communities that probably wouldn't have exposure to that. But with that, we've also curated some really amazing relationships. The primary one that I need to mention is with Marigus Winery, who has been there from the very beginning. And such an amazing spot and such an amazing group of people. I know you saw Shrew there. A few years ago, but they really have helped us by being our bread and butter and consistently being our best show throughout our locations. So just shout out to Marigus Winery right there. It's just an amazing location.
And it's a great
amazing
space.
People. It really is. You've got Smith Rocks in the background.
Yep.
And they really have an awesome product. And I think that all of that has to do with its success there.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, people would like to have a glass of wine when they come watch Shakespeare. And at a lot of our other locations, we're in public places like the parks, we can't have that and stuff. Right. And so that's why Marigus has kind of, even from the first year, been consistently our best show.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate that. And then the other part, the whole idea behind Guerrilla Shakespeare is to take a spot that is completely natural and neutral, and like the name implies, ambush it with a play. And then as mysteriously as we arrived and put on this amazing Shakespeare production, we disappear.
Yeah,
and that's the whole idea behind the Guerrilla Shakespeare. And so we've had some really amazing locations in our 8-year history, including cemeteries and the Deschutes Historical Society in downtown Bend, which has been there from the beginning.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, we've also been able to experiment with different venues and what works best, not only for us, but for the play, because different locations will work better for a different play. For example, we did for a long time in the cemetery, we realized that the comedies just don't do very well there. Like, who wants to see a comedy in a cemetery? They want to see Mackers, and they want to see Hamlet, and they want to see Lear there, right? Yeah. And so I've been able to kind of curate some relationships to where not all the venues are the same for every show.
Good.
And it really helps kind of add to the ambience of the play a little bit. If you're able to put it in the venue that is most desirable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the idea of coming in and doing a show and then you're gone.
Exactly.
That's lovely. So tell me about As You Like It. When does it open?
Where sure. Well, As You Like It opens on the 24th. It's a Thursday. For every year, our first venue is the same, which is the Deschutes Historical Society in downtown Bend. And then we move to Pioneer Park for 2 days. And then we take it on a little bit of a tour on Wednesday the 30th. We're near Sisters at Settle Lake. Yeah. And Thursday, we're back in Bend. Friday, we're at Marigus Winery. And then Saturday, I believe it's August 2nd, we're back in Bend at Alpenglow Park. So it's really cool. We're able to kind of take it on the road a little bit and make it a little bit of a tour and bring it to locations that normally don't have Shakespeare. Sometimes that works out for us. Sometimes it doesn't. One time we tried to do a play in Prineville. And no one bought tickets. But, you know, that's just kind of the name of the game sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that is. Ah. So you're going to do this forever. I mean, that's the plan, right? You're going to continue Guerrilla Shakespeare forever. So what are some things that we could do, the theater community could do to support you, to help you? What are some things that would make life easier for you other than the bits part, you know, butts in theater seats? What other things could you use?
Well, obviously that would be the first thing that I would say is come see a show where you're doing really great work with very little. We're bringing it all around Central Oregon, and I think we have a very good product, and I really put my heart and soul into making that such. For the last couple of years, I haven't directed the play, but I've been still very much artistically involved, making sure that we have a good product. So, of course, butts and seats is the first thing. I guess when I look to the future, I would like to see a couple of different things, and this is maybe where some listeners might be able to help. As of right now, we're not a nonprofit organization. I feel like in order to do that, just I need someone that's either a lawyer or really well-versed with that kind of law. In order to help me get to that point, because I've taken a look at what it takes, and really you need someone that's just well versed with that all, and that's not me. But what I would really like to see in the future is us to become a nonprofit organization. Then more people are, you know, able to donate to us or sponsor us. Mm-hmm. But where I would really like to see us in 5 to 10 years is more as a summer stock company.
Cool.
To where that I would be cool. able, yeah, to be able to kind of pay everyone. As of right now, we are very much a community theater production. The only people that are getting paid are the director and me, and that's just me getting recompense, you know?
Right.
Like I said, I'm fine with that because I feel like I'm doing this service. But if I could become a nonprofit organization and encourage more donations to come, then I'm able to, A, pay the actors a little bit more. That would attract maybe some outside talent. Not that Central Oregon talent isn't brilliant. And I'm sure that I would be able to pull from that as well. I want to pay everyone.
Does that mean that you would want to relocate back to Bend on occasion? Because you're
in Chicago. Well, I pretty much come back every summer.
Yeah.
As far as coming back to Bend, I really love Chicago right now. And I see myself here for a little while, especially as I gain some momentum with what I'm doing here, as far as the producing and such. In February, I have a really huge production coming up here at this brand new theater that was opened by the company members, both current and former, of Steppenwolf Theater.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. And so they've opened a collective, essentially, of a brand new theater. It's only been open a little more than a year. It's called Bramble Theater Arts. But I went and checked it out, and it is one of the most beautiful spaces in the city. And I can honestly say that after having seen a lot of the spaces. And as of right now, it's really relatively unknown. Not a lot of people know about it and such. But I've got 3 weeks in February booked and paid for.
What are you going to do?
Right now, I think I'm going to do this play called The Angels of Lemnos, which is written by a local playwright here in the Chicagoland area. But this is the 30-year anniversary of the play. And when it happened 30 years ago, it won some awards, including Jeff Awards, which are kind of like Chicago's Tony Awards.
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful piece of theater. It's written by a playwright named Jim Henry, and he's from the Chicagoland area, actually down in Indiana. But it's about a homeless man who's had some brain damage. So his thinking isn't like a normal line of thinking, and which makes that interesting because we see the whole play from his point of view, his eyes, essentially. And the play starts when he finds an abandoned baby in a dumpster. And then he takes it thinking that he knows what he needs to do with it. Meanwhile, the rest of the homeless community and the police are looking for this abandoned baby, right?
Yeah.
And it's very, it never specifically mentions it, but I think it takes place in Chicago. It takes place in a cold city that's like Chicago. And so it's really an honor that Jim is letting me do the play again. He's, instead of taking his normal playwright's fee, he's letting me donate that to a service or a charity that will help out the homeless in our area, which is really cool for me because then I don't have to come up with that money in advance, and then I can come up with it later.
Right.
It actually makes it a lot easier to produce the play. So I'm really looking forward to doing this production. It was also my first huge play out of college that I did when I was working with Innovation Theater Works. I'm really looking forward to bringing this back to life. It hasn't been done since I did it last. It's a really amazing play, but I feel like it's fallen kind of under the radar in the last 10 years. In the first 20 years that it existed, it got done a bunch, probably, you know, a dozen or two dozen times. But since then, it hasn't been done. So I'm really looking forward to bringing it back to life in February for its 30th anniversary and seeing what those actors can do. I'm going to direct it this time rather than act in it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Ooh. That'll be awesome. That'll be so awesome.
Yeah.
All right. You're going to let me know when you're having auditions so I can boost it up there.
Please, please send all your former students.
Yeah, exactly. Come and do an alumni show. That'd be fun. What are you thinking? You're going to get through As You Like It. What are you thinking will be your next show?
I've been talking about Cymbeline, which is one of the obscure ones, but we're looking into cuts. I know that Rachel, who has directed the last few productions for me and is really my rock in Central Oregon since I've left, really wants to do Cymbeline. So we're going to look into that. But I'm thinking in 2027, which will be our 10th production, that I want to do Mackers again. And hopefully dispel the curse. And I just love that place so much. I don't know when the last time you saw Mackers was. But whenever it comes up in Chicago, I'm like, we got to go see it. I'll never get sick of it.
I saw a production with McNary High School over in Salem. And for a high school production, it was all stripped down and it was beautiful, just visually so simplistic. And yet, boy, by the end of the show, you were just wiped out. It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah.
Well, the first year that we did it, we had to get really creative with it. Right. And so instead of kind of killing his way up to Scotland, we made it like it was a company. So when you got there and you got your program, it was like, well, welcome to Scotland Incorporated. Here's your training manual. Like everyone was a new employee there. Mm-hmm. And then when you opened it up, it kind of had everybody's almost like positions instead of, with the cast list. So like Mackers was like VP, you know?
Yeah.
And at the time when you begin the plays, Duncan is CEO, right? And so you get to see all of that change. And in order to help with that, we almost had like these like buttons that were like, you know, what side are you on? And so instead of killing his way up the chain to be king of Scotland, it was killing his way to be the king of, or the CEO of Scotland Incorporated. And so it was almost like this kind of greed-based, very business, almost like Reaganomics 80s sort of thing that we were
doing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it really worked. And that's really what inspired me. The other thing that I thought was so creative that we were able to come up with is instead of when the witches do their double-double toil and trouble, instead of around a cauldron, they did it around a water cooler. Nice. And we were able to make it bubble. I can't remember exactly how, but we were able to make it bubble during certain lines and such.
That's too cool.
And so it was a lot of fun. And that's really the hooks that grabbed me into this. Is as much of a stress ball this is every single year, when it happens on opening night, my heart is full and I know that I've done something really amazing that was hard. It's difficult to do Shakespeare. It's difficult to find people that want to do Shakespeare or that even have an interest in it. And then with everybody's, you know, things that they've got going on in their life, it makes it difficult because there's just so much, you know, and it's such a time commitment. And when I'm not really able to pay anyone yet, and I'm asking people to volunteer, you know, dozens of hours.
And to memorize, and I don't know if you do cuts or what, but to memorize tomes of information.
Exactly.
You know, which is lovely because He just packed things in there to make it so worthwhile. To tell a story and put some sex and some naughtiness and some insults and being playful and all of that. And you don't have to be a scholar to appreciate it. It's just all right there. So keep doing that. I hope Guerrilla Shakespeare stays forever.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. We're going to continue on. As hard as it is every single year, and it really is a challenge. There's new challenges every year. But like I said, it's my baby, and I'm not about to stop. So
thanks so much, Clint. I really appreciate it. So glad that you said yes to chatting. That's so awesome. Yay!
Of course, my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to High Desert Bits. If you're interested in learning more about Clinton and Guerrilla Shakespeare, check out Guerrilla_Shakespeare on Instagram and Facebook. And to check out the Bits calendar, go to our website at highdesertbits.com or follow us on Instagram. Do your bits!